Of the disparagement of the mikubalim of the kabbalists, v'haya Omer, and he said, "Af ha'avode ha'ovde gelulim ma'amini ha'shalosh." The idolaters, meaning by which you meant the Christians, they believe in three. They believe in a threesome, right? A trinity. The mikubalim ma'amini ha'asirios, and the mikubalim they believe in ten. Right? Their God is ten parts. Right?
Are you serious?
Rabbi, doesn't the Nefesh HaChaim talk about that you're, you know, that famous chart that kind of fits into the body of man with Yesod, Ruach, Neshama? Aren't those spheros?
Those are not spheros. Well, Yesod is a sphera. Ruach and Neshama are not spheros. Those are madrigas of the Neshama. All those little circles are spheros. Yeah, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Keser, Malchus.
Entire human being, like their spiritual parts. But you're saying that they are
a
philosophy that they control something.
They are structured to be modeled like a person, but they are not corresponding to an individual person or even people in general. They're a spiritual structure. Right, but we'll see more what they actually are as we go along. But right now we're in the question. It says, and the questioner said, so the Christians, they believe in a three part God, and the Kabbalists, they believe in 10 part God. So he says, Ukvar karali biyosi bisrakasta, some place, I don't know how to pronounce that, some place probably in Spain or France or Italy or something like that. Shabal Hasham Hachacham Hayashish Don Yosef ibn Shushan. I met Don Yosef ibn Shushan. Asher Kvara Isioso Bibalancia. I had already met him in Valencia, which is Valencia. That one we can figure out. Vuaya Chacham b'Talmud. He was a sage of the Talmud. V'ra'a b'Philosophia. And he had also learned philosophy. V'haya Mekubal. V'chasid Gadol u'medaktik mitos. He was a Kabbalist and he was a great saintly man, and he was very medactic in mitzvos, very careful about mitzvos. Ubeni ubeno haisa ava v'cheshek gadol, and we had a very close relationship. Upam achas sha'altilo, and I once asked him, and he's a Kabbalist, he's a good person to ask, eich atem hamikubalim bebracha achas mechavnim l'sfira yedua bebracha acheres l'sfira acheres. How is it? How can you do this, that in one tefillah, in one prayer, you have intent towards one sphera, in another prayer you have intention for another sphera. Va'od hachi yesh elohus l'sferos sheyispalal adam lahen. And furthermore, is there godliness to spheros that you should daven to them? You daven to God. So you're saying that these spheros are like a part of God that you're davening to them? Va'onali, and he responded to me. Chalila shatiya hatfila. Ki im l'shem yisbarach levad, shehu alas ha'alus. Then, God forbid that prayer should be to anyone except for God Himself, because He is the absolute first, the cause of all causes. Aval ha'davar hazeh, but this idea of praying with intention for the different spheros is as follows. Kemo mi sheyesh lo riv, someone who has a dispute. V'shoel min ha'melech sheyaso lo din, and he asks the king to exact justice for him. Yivakesh mimenu sheyitzave el yoshev al ha'mishpat sheyadin lo. He will ask the king to command the person, the minister who is in charge of judgment of the courts, to judge his case. Lo sheyitzave zeh el hasochin ha'memuna al ha'utros. He's not going to ask the king to command the treasurer to take care of the problem. Ki tieshe laso betos. That would be a mistaken request. V'chein im yishal min ha'melech sheyitin lo matan. If he wants the king to give him some kind of gift or a loan or whatever it is, lo yomar lo sheyitzave el ha'shofet. He's not going to ask the king to tell the judge to give him a loan. Aval sheyitzave el hasochin, he's going to tell him to get the treasurer to fulfill the request. V'cheinim yishal mimenu yayin, if he wants to ask the king for wine, yivake shi'tzavi zel sar hamashkim, he's going to ask the king that he should order the sar hamashkim, the head wine agent, Jared, of course, to provide the wine for him. V'im yishal lechem yomer l'sar ofim, and he asks for bread, that means he wants the king to order the head baker. Lo behevechze, it's not going to mix things up. Kach hu beinyan hatzvila. So too it is with prayer. Shehi l'olam la'alas ha'alus. Of course, you're davening to the ultimate absolute cause, the original cause, which is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ela, except that, just that, shemechavin ha'machshava l'hamshich ha'shefa may also gvura shehimida sfira misyachazes ozo davashu mevakish alav. That your intention is that your tefillah should draw out the just translate it, I don't know if there's a good one-word translation, but the spiritual energy that's going to come in response to your tefillah, it should be drawn through whichever specific sphera, which is what, that whichever aspect of the spiritual spheres that God runs the world with, that it should come through those specific one that's related to his tefillah. Kemo, we're not going to get into the examples that he gives now, is not our subject. Kemo sha'amar, ashetomar, shebebirkas ala tzidikim yichavin l'sfira hanikras chesed. When you're davening, when you pray the bracha of al hatzadikim, the prayer to the for protecting the righteous, you want to have intention that the response should be through the sphera of chesed. Ubebirkas haminim yichavin l'sfira hanikras gvura. And in the bracha, which is the bracha of Hashem protecting us from heretics, that it should be, your intention should be for the sphera called Gvura, Shemin is Adin, the Hekesh al Zeh, Zeh, Bierli Achasin, Haniskar, Mikavanas, and Mikubalim. This is how the Ibn Shushan, Hadan Yosef Ibn Shushan, explained to me the concept of what the Kabbalists are doing. Vehine Tov Me'od, and says the Rivash, and it's a very good answer. It makes a lot of sense, right? So the Rivash is going to go on to say that he himself is not a Kabbalist, but yet he acknowledges that the response that the Reb in Shushan gave was a very logical, sensible answer. He says, so now he has a follow-up question, and the follow-up question is what we're going to try and deal with next, and then we're going to go back to the original question and see how some of the other Kabbalistic literature addresses the question. But he says, follow-up question, Amnam, fine, very nice, it all makes sense, but mi machmes osanu mechol zeh? What? Why do we need to get into all of that? Who forced us to get involved in this whole thing? Halo tov lehispalel stam l'shem yisparach b'kavana. Wouldn't it be better just to daven to Hashem? V'hu yeda be'eza derech yashlem ha'mavukash. And Hashem knows how to respond to our prayers. I don't have to tell God how to answer my prayer. Kimam arakasov gola al Hashem darkecha ubatach alav hu yase. That, unfold yourself unto Hashem and trust Him, and He'll do what He has to do. And He says, v'lazeh eini tokeya atzmi ba'osa chachma. And he says, and because of all this, he quotes his Rebbe, the Rashi. He quotes again the Reb Shimshon of Kinon, who did not daven with the idea of Sphiros. And he says, and the Ramban, who was a Kabbalist, and talks a lot about Kabbalah in his Pirshan Chumash and in Shar HaGemul in different writings. He says that the Ramban did not go out of his way to explain it. It's not something that that we received a tradition from the Ramban about Kabbalistic thought. And he says, "Lazeh eini tokeya atmi ba'ozo chachma," and therefore I do not involve myself in this field of knowledge. Achar shelo kibaltiha mipi mekubal chacham, since I did not receive a tradition in it from a mekubal, from a Kabbalist. I don't have a tradition in this school of thought, and therefore I don't get involved in it. So that's what I was referring to before. The Rivash acknowledges, had I learned it from an expert, so that would be great. Since I didn't receive a Masorah in it, I don't have a tradition for it myself, So I don't get involved in it. The Rivash does not seem to be bothered. He doesn't seem to feel like he's missing anything critical, right? Worth noting, this is not, according to the Rivash, he doesn't feel like this is something that he needs to go find a Rebbe for. But he says, you know, if I would have learned it, that, you know, then I would have a Masorah in it. That would be, but since I didn't receive a valid tradition for it, I'm not going to involve myself in it and try and figure it out on my own. It's something that you'll only understand with a tradition, and therefore I don't get involved in it. So that second question, going to try to address. I hope that I have the pages here in the same order as everyone else, because my copy is not stable. So the next thing we have is the Sefer HaKlalim from the Sefer Kinas Hashem Tzavakus, which is the Ramchal wrote a number of Svarim which consisted of two components. One component, which was the Sefer itself, which was often written in a more less jargony, kind of straightforward explanation. And then he had the Sefer HaKlalim. Of each one, he had the principles that formed the basis of each Sefer, which were the more Kabbalistic roots upon which the Sefer was, upon which each book was based. So, for example, Das Tvunos has a very long Sefer, followed by a Sefer HaKlalim, which is the long list of just the straightforward Kabbalistic principles on which it's based. So Sefer Kinas Hashem Tzavakus is the same thing as a Sefer HaKlalim, has a book of the principles that make up, that form the basis for the Sefer. So this is an excerpt from there. Now the Ramchal is not coming to directly address this question, and the Nefesh HaChaim, which we're going to see next, is also not coming to directly address this question, but I think we'll see what they understand to be the answer to this question. What's the point? It's very nice we can understand why it's not heresy to utilize these spheros, but what's the point? So says the Ramchal, starting a little bit in the middle of the paragraph, or not a little bit in the middle of the paragraph, but says, V'teda shahamaisim ha'elem orim pe'uloso bidrachim pratim. The Ramchal is discussing how the idea of our avoda, of our role in this world, is that Hashem set up the world in such a way that He made Himself, as it were, responsive to what we do. Hashem, of course, could have just, you know, maintained absolute control for Himself and ignored everything that we do and do whatever He wants. But Hashem, in giving us a role in creation, basically decided that He would respond to our actions. And therefore, our actions are really the root cause of spiritual activity that happens in the world. The things, the events, even the spiritual events that happen in the world are really rooted in our actions. That's the Nefesh, the basis of Shar Aleph of Nefesh HaChaim is really this idea of how it is that the human soul is tied in to creation and how our actions have, you know, cosmic ramifications. But so that's the yesod, that's the basis of our role in Avodas Hashem. V'teda shamaisim ha'elem orim pe'ulaso bedrachim pratim. And we should understand that these actions that we do, they arouse Hashem's actions in very specific ways. It's, you know, just like you have the laws of physics, there are the laws of metaphysics, and everything that we do that has its spiritual reaction. Mehem toldos pratios kamochin, which draw out very specific reactions. Masha hu akol toelas hanivraim, all of which is set up in the, according to Hashem's chachma, according to Hashem's wisdom, in a way which is for the good of creation. Ube'aso seinu hadvarim bekavana hazos. When we do our actions with this intention, when we fulfill, when we do what we do with the intention of bringing out that toeles, of bringing out that positive effect, hine ritzuyim yeh yoser lifnei hamatzil baruch hu, our actions are more praiseworthy or more desirable before Hashem, ki lo kemitzvas anashim milumada, because they're not done like something that's being done in a form of out of habit, It's like a person who knows his creator, who recognizes his creator, and has intention to do what Hashem wants. That you're no longer just kind of blindly doing things because, you know, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. But you have an understanding of what you are doing, and you are therefore a more active and conscious partner in that, in the activity or the area that you're involved in. You see the very similar idea in the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim says, Ella shakol kavanas libeinu v'kol habrachos v'tfilos, all of our kavana, all of our intent, all of our direction, in all of the blessings and all of the prayers that we say, tzarech shetia la'atzmus ein sof baruchu, has to be to what we can only try to translate as God's infinite essence, right? We discussed this a bit in the first two principles. It's the idea that we have a certain, from our perspective at least, a certain dichotomy, which is there's God's essence, which is, you know, God in being infinite, and there's really nothing more we can describe about God other than that he's infinite. And then we have the way in which God reveals himself to us, which is, you know, in a way which we can understand, which has, you know, different names and different components, right? But that God's essence is God's infinite essence. And when we pray, of course, you're praying only to God's infinite essence. Mitzad hischabro kiritzono yisparach el ha'olamos. From the perspective of his connection as he desired it to existence. Shemitzidam heim kol atoarim v'ashemus miskalfim. And it's from that perspective, it's from the angle of Hashem's connection, his point of connection with the world, that we have all of the names, changing names of Hashem. They're all describing the way, different facets of the way in which Hashem relates to the world. Kefi his orus hamagia aleha mimase adam shall kol ish me'am segula. According to the his orus, according to the word inspiration, I guess, that comes from the actions of man or the actions of the Jewish people, which, as we mentioned before, that dictates the relationship that Hashem has with the world. And it's according to that relationship that the different ways in which we refer to Hashem is corresponding to the different ways in which Hashem is relating to the world. V'zehu inyan habracha lo yisbarach, b'chol habracha zo tefila. Let's skip now to the next paragraph. This is the idea of a bracha to Hashem in all of the blessings and the prayers. Sheperushuhu, what is the understanding of a bracha? Is tosefes v'riboy mamish kemashmo kenizkar la'el. A bracha means, this is the Nefesh HaChaim referring back to something he says in the previous chapters, he says that a bracha means, the translation of bracha is increase. To be mevarich something means like a brecha, like a spring, which is a welling up and increasing, right? Says that's the idea of a bracha. Shazehu ritzon yisbarach mitam kamos ito yisbarach. This is Hashem's desire for reasons that are only fully understandable to God Himself, is that shaniskan v'niyachid al yedei habrachos v'atfilos akochos olamos elyonim. That through our brachos and our tfilos, we should fulfill, we should complete the upper worlds, the spiritual realm should be completed through our involvement, through our brachos and our tfilos. Shayil muchanim v'ru'uyim l'kabal shefes kedushas or elyon. That they should be made into complete vessels that could receive, you know, the light of God. But so the idea is that we, through our tefillos, that we are completing the picture of putting the finishing touches, so to speak, on the spiritual world. And it's therefore, if that's part of tefillah, is called an avoda, right? Tefillah is called a service of Hashem. How is it work? How is it a service? Because we are taking part through tefillah, through prayer, in being a part of building the spiritual creation. And that being the case, say the Mekubalim, that you're doing a better job of being involved if you know what you are doing, if you understand what you're doing. Of course, someone who doesn't understand can pray directly to Hashem with simple, straightforward intent. And, you know, this is what I do, because I don't know how to do what the Mekubalim do. But you pray with straightforward intent. And of course, that's, you know, God's going to understand what he's supposed to do. But the Mekubalim say that understanding what you are doing makes it a higher level of an avoda. It makes it that you have a better, a clearer grasp of what you're doing. So you are more actively involved in that process. The Noda B'Yehuda has a famous tshuva in which he writes that someone who doesn't know, the Noda B'Yehuda has a famous tshuva about in some sidurim you see these paragraphs before certain tfilos that say l'shem yichud. L'shem yichud kud shabrichu shchinte and all these things. Noda B'Yehuda is very against that being printed in the siddur, and he's very against people saying that, because the Noda B'Yehuda said when you do a mitzvah, you do a tfilo, if you just have kavana that, you know, whatever's supposed to happen should happen, so it'll work out. However, if you have intent that it should work in a certain way, so it's kind of like it's the difference between, you know, Microsoft and Apple, right? Or Microsoft and Linux, right? If you don't know, if you are a computer programmer, or you know your stuff about computers, so it makes sense to be a Linux user, because you have Linux, everything you can customize it, you can make it work exactly the way you want it, right? But if you don't know what you're doing, you better get Microsoft, because you better get Windows, because Windows is set up that everything works the way it's supposed to work. You don't customize anything in Windows. Everything, you can't customize everything. It's set to the way it's set, right? If you don't know what you're doing and you get Linux, you're going to mess up your whole computer. Right, you're going to try and make things work better, and you're going to make everything worse. It's the exact same thing. That if you try to customize your spiritual, the spiritual effects of your prayers, so if you know what you're doing, so then that's what the Rav Ash is describing. That's what the Nefesh Chaim. I'm sorry, not the Rav Ash. The Nefesh Chaim is describing that you'll be a more conscious partner in doing what you, it is an improvement. You've made your avoda better. But if you don't know what you're doing, says the Noda B'Yehuda, you're really going to mess things up. You're going to be doing spiritual damage by trying to customize, so to speak, the spiritual direction of your prayers, and you really don't know what you're doing. You don't know where it's going. So that's the idea. The first idea.
And what did they say in Ne'er Yisrael?
Neir Yisrael, they do not say the L'shem Yichuds.
I thought it was more like a plug-in.
It was more like a
plug-in, not another program. You're just given a plug-in. You know, you're using an app to make things go smoother, whether you know how it works or not.
Right, so that's not the way the Noda B'Yehuda describes it.
Does anybody second his opinion?
I mean, it's definitely quoted a lot. I don't know if there's how many people...
Even those who do say, like some of them will only say one. The one before Baruch Shammai.
All right. I don't know so much about it. But there's another thing, which is the... not the L'shem Yichud, but the Hineni Muchan. The Hineni Muchan is very different. The Hineni Muchan is just a declaration of your intent to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Hashem, when you do this. Right, as opposed to the Shem Yichud is trying to describe a certain spiritual path that your tefillah is going to take, that the Noda B'Yehuda says is very dangerous. But I want to keep going, because we do have to end on time, and I had a whole other section that we want to get through here.
What's this have to do with the Rambam's introduction?
Because the Rambam says that the reason we were discussing this is because the Rambam says that you only daven to Hashem. So we're discussing how this fits into only davening to Hashem. So now, the second approach. So this is in a certain sense, not in a certain sense. This is really going back to the Re'ev and Shushan had one answer to the question. You got it. One answer to the question of what is this idea of Spheros and how does it fit into everything. So we're going to see from the Ramchal and the Nefesh HaChayim a slightly different approach to even answering the original question. which is, what are the Kabbalists doing with these spheros? What's the idea of the spheros? So this is from the Sefer Das Tfunos, which is, in a certain sense, I think in the Kabbalistic sense, might be considered the magnum opus of the Ramchal. It's somewhat of the gateway sefer into learning Kabbalah. But the Ramchal here says, Hine teidi vaday she'ein ha'maisim atovim to'elas lo yisbarach klal. We should understand that good deeds, so to speak, they don't do anything for God. And when you do something bad, you're also not harming God. Ukvar Namar, the Torah already says, or the Sefer in Eov, says, Imchatat Matif Albo, if you sin, what are you going to affect him? The Im Tzedakt Matitein Lo, and if you are righteous, what did you give to him? I mean, God is absolute and infinite. You know, God didn't have to create us. God doesn't need us. And therefore, the actions that we do, so they don't actually impact God. You're not hurting God when you do a sin, and you're not, you know, helping God. You're not making God better when you do a mitzvah. God innovated, he created a certain, a way of interacting, of running the world, with certain different laws, different particular paths and laws, Shayada Hayosam Hagunum Latachlis Hazeh, which he established in a way that they were perfectly in line with the intent that he wanted with creation, Shemitzidam Yemitzias Chos Vechovel Adam, that through them, that's where man would find merit and demerit, so to speak. Sha'al Pia Drachma Ela Yucho Lehikara Toeles Mashi Kaimu Bene Adam Esa Mitzvos, the Chisaron Sheyavru Aleim. That through this way, that there will be a means of man having done or not done what he's supposed to do, and they'll be having a benefit, so to speak, from his having fulfilled what God said to do, and a Chisaron and a lack from violating what God said to do. So step one is that we would say it that the mitzvos and averos are a construct. God does not need them. God's not lacking that he needs us to do the mitzvos, and he's not harmed. God is absolute. He's perfect. He doesn't. So the mitzvos were set up as a construct in which we are able to do or not do what God said to do. They're so to speak for our sake. Or not so to speak, they're completely for our sake. And God gave us a means to have a way of becoming participant in the world. But God doesn't need that. Ube'emes. Did I just go back a page? Did I put things out of order here?
No. I'm
just making sure I'm following what I wanted from this. All right, okay, fine. So we're gonna come back to that point in 1 second. Ube emes. This is now still the Ramchal. The Ramchal now in Sefer Aklalim of the Kinas Hashem Tzvakos. He says, Ube emes. Kasher bederech kavod nedaber el hamelech ba'amarnu eshtachave el hadar kvod hodecha. When you speak in an honorable way to a king. Today, we don't have so many real kings, and certainly in America with a presidency, anyone can, you know, yell and scream and say whatever they want about the president. There's not such a thing. People don't talk in the way that you would talk to an honorable. But when you spoke to a king, you know, a king who was, you know, the authority to kill you if he felt like it, right? So when you would say you. You would say His Highness, or Your Highness, if you were being very familiar. Your Excellency, right? Exactly. Achav el Rom mem shaltecha, he says, you know, I bend myself to your loftiness. You don't refer to him, you refer to his loftiness, his excellency, his highness, right? All of these things are expressions, rotza lomar elecha. But they all mean to you, but they're all speaking to the loftiness of his position, not speaking to him himself. You describe him by his lofty position. Kein nedaber lifnei hamatzil bederech kavod behaz kirenu pulosav. So too we speak to Hashem in such a respectful way, in such a There's a word I'm looking for. It's escaping me. But such a respectful way when you're speaking. It's deferential. In such a deferential way when we're speaking to Hashem. Masha lo hayakach im hayu dvarim zulaso, which is not the way we would speak if there were things other than Hashem that we were speaking to that were that carried out Hashem's will independent of Hashem. Malachim o afilu kelim, if there would be angels or even the spiritual vessels. Ki lo hayamatil baruch rota shenispala lacherim bavuro. Because Hashem does not want us to dive into anything other than Him Himself. Aval shenazkir gedulaso bederach kavod al shem maisav. But that which we will mention Hashem's godless, if we mention Hashem's greatness through His actions, zev vadai derech ratzoi lefanov. That's what Hashem wants. The roi v'nachum me'od, and that's appropriate. Even if we would have a way, we don't have a name for God's essence. That's the thing we say, that God in His atzmos, in His essence, is indescribable, and therefore doesn't have an actual name. There's no name you can give to it. But even if you could pick a name for it, it would be inappropriate to use it, because the respectful way to speak to the king is to not be so familiar, relate to him through the greatness of his actions, the greatness of his position. The last thing we wanted to see here is the Nefesh HaChaim, and the Nefesh HaChaim relates us back into what we're talking about. So he says, Ki yesod pinas emunasenu hakadosha, shakol magamas kavanas libenu b'chol abrachus fatfilos ubakashos. Ach rak le yachido shel olam. Yachido shel olam. Says that the foundation stone, the cornerstone of our emunah is that the entire aim and direction and all of our brachos and tefilos and requests are only to the singular Hashem. Adon yachid ein sof baruch hu, the master of all, the infinite master of all. Amnam, however, Lo she'anu midabrim eilav kibayachol al atzmuso yisbarach levad. It's not like we are speaking to Hashem in His absolute existence alone. Bibachinas hayoso mufshat mufrash kibayachol agamrei me'olamos. That aspect, so to speak, of His existence, which is completely separate and removed from existence. God, in His absolute infiniteness, is beyond all understanding and all connection to this world. The imkain eich netareu chas v'shalom mekol brachosenu v'tfilasenu b'shum shem v'kinoi b'olam klal. Because if we were speaking to Hashem's essence, how could we identify that with any name or any appellation? There's no description we could give to it. There's no term that you could give. If that's who you were speaking to, we couldn't use any names of Hashem when speaking. You can't do the Elokeinu when you're speaking to God's essence. Elokeinu, Elokim, is one facet of God's relationship to the world. When you're speaking to God's infinite essence, you can't use that term. That is minimizing and restricting God's absolute infiniteness, which is beyond any definition and limitation, to one aspect. That we wouldn't do. Vegam de imlo mitzad sheher anu yisparach shiratzono lehis chaber laholamos. And furthermore, were it not for the fact that God wanted to connect to this world, ule imlacha al birion kafum uvdehon, and to be crowned over creations according to their actions, lo hayinu rishaim klal lehispala latzmuso yisbarach sheyischaber leolamos ulashgacha al birion. We wouldn't even be allowed to daven to Hashem that He should connect to this world, that He should be involved in what's happening in this world, if not that He wanted to connect. God in His infiniteness, it's hard to use the word nature, because we don't describe any nature, but the one thing we is that God in His infiniteness is beyond any understanding, is beyond any limitation, and connection to this physical limited world, that would be a limit. That's you know, in a major way, that's a limitation. And if not that God revealed and created the construct for our relationship with Him through Torah and mitzvos, there we wouldn't have the right to daven to Hashem that there should be some connection between us and him. It's only because he created this construct where he wants that, that we have the right to do such a thing. V'gam shelafi b'chinas atzmuso yizbarach bilti his chavruso el olamos ein makom l'torah mitzvos klal. And without God's connection to this world, according to Hashem's absolute existence, without his connecting to this world, there's no room for Torah and mitzvos. This is exactly what we were describing before. Al zeh ne'amar, im chatas matif al bo, im tzedakta ma titin lo, o ma mi yadecha yikach. If you've done bad, what are you going to affect Hashem? If you do good, what are you going to give to him? What could he possibly take from your hands? Right, that in Hashem's infiniteness, there's nothing you could possibly do for him. There's nothing you could probably possibly do against him. There's no room for Torah and mitzvos according to that aspect of Hashem's infinite essence. Ki be'etz ki la'atzmus adon kol baruchu. Kol masei adam hatova hi imra einenu nogas lo be'etzem klal, because according to Hashem's essence, everything we do doesn't really affect that. Nothing we could do could possibly affect God's infiniteness. That's beyond anything we could possibly do. Now you're going to the bottom of the page. There's the Haggah here. Umasha kasvu bekavanus atfilos vebrachos. That which we discuss in the, that which is written about, the intention that a person has in the tfilos and brachos, in his prayers, lechavin b'kol bracha kavara miyuchedes lespiras miyuchedes, and that in each bracha you have intention for one, you know, in this bracha, in this prayer, you have intent for this sphira, and in different prayer you have the intention for a different sphira. Lo chas v'shalom la'atzmus ha'sfira. You're not praying to that sphira. Ki hu kitzus natius chas v'shalom. That would be the phrase in Kabbalistic literature is called kotzitz b'natios, which literally means chopping down the trees, which is a reference to, it basically means that would be heresy. You'd be uprooting, you know, the roots of things in very high places. Is it kain ba'avodas ha'tfila? Chalil, similarly in prayer, chalil lechavin l'shum koach prati yusfira miyuchedes. That God forbid that you should have intention for any specific power, faculty, or any specific sphera. Ela la'atmus adon yachin ein sof barachu, kala kochos kulam. That your intention is for God's essence, that the one source of all power. Shemischaber biritzono yisbarach mitam kamus etzlo yisbarach, that he connects through his own ratzon, through his own will, his own desire or choice, he connects to this world for whatever the reason that he saw fit. Lifol ba'oso sfira ba'oso akoach shehim beseder hishdalshalus shakavahu yisbarach, to connect to the world through this chain, this interface of these spheros, these 10 spiritual heads that he set up, biritzono shakol sfira miyuchedes l'inyan prati, that each sphera performs the function of some specific task, sha'al yada pu'ula inyan zeba olamos, that through that's how it comes, from God's infinite existence into this finite world, comes through this interface that he set up, which is called the spheros. And he says, and it's his summary, last line, he says, and now you can look at the Chuvas Rivash that we started with, and you'll see the response of the Re Ibn Shushan to the Rivash, and he says, "L'dvareinu eli yisyashav Yosef." And he says, and according to what I've explained, it's even a little bit more settled, understandable what this relationship is. The idea is basically that God is infinite and absolute, and from God's infinite essence, there's no way, there's no such thing as relating to this world. God created an interface through which he connects to this world. There's so to speak, there's something that, this is why this is Kabbalah, it's the things that we can't really understand in a straightforward, simple fashion, but the link, the impossible link between the finite and the infinite is the spheros. That's the interface that God created to be, the interface between the finite and the infinite. And that's what the prayer is to God. And it's the only way to pray directly to God, because a relationship directly, God's relationship with the world is only through the spheros. You're praying directly to God that he should connect to the world through the interface that he set up to connect to the world. And it's a way of recognizing God's loftiness. It's a way of recognizing, just like what we saw from the Ramchal, that when you acknowledge a king, you don't talk about him. You talk about his loftiness. It's a way of recognizing God's infinite, absolute loftiness that we don't talk, that we don't say directly to him that he's directly connected to the world. It's only through his actions that we connect to God. We're praying directly to him, but that he should connect to us through the interface of his actions, which is represented by the spheros. I hope no one enjoyed the past 2 weeks too much, because next week we're going to go back to things which are a little bit more on a less esoteric level. We're going to be starting the sixth ikar, the principle of the existence of prophecy, and be more, I think, on a down-to-earth level. All right, Yasher Koach.
So I absolutely see where that was for you. It seems like you're